Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
Hi everyone, Jim Rizzoli here in Framingham, Massachusetts. Today we have a special guest, Jan Lamprecht from South Africa. Right, Jan, that's where you're from?
Yes, that's where I'm currently living. I'm originally from what was called Rhodesia, which is now known as Zimbabwe.
All right. And I guess your claim to fame, as we say, you run the site called historyreviewed.com, which is an excellent site for you folks that you have to go to the site. It really is well done. I must give you credit for that. It's got a ton of stuff on it. For us white people to go to see. I mean, very well done. A lot of information there. And anyway, that's quite an undertaking to keep a site like that going. So other than that, you're kind of an activist dealing with the defending of the white race, wouldn't you say?
Yes, as a general point, yes. That's pretty much what it's come to. It started out as defending the people in Southern Africa because we're lied about so much. And as time went by, I discovered that, well, they're lying pretty much about so many people, the Germans and lots more.
Right, right. I don't know if you want to divulge any hits, information about your family, or are you married, kids, or anything like that. You don't have to, but I'm just asking just to ask, you know.
I'm just a single guy, you can
say
that.
Okay, no, that's fine. You're probably better off. That's fine. You can get more done that way, wouldn't you say?
No, there is a good point. That's how it works. Ask Hitler. Hitler.
That's right. Yeah, you're right about that. Well, anyway, I've watched some of your videos, and one thing I noticed about you, you're very you really cover a lot of information, and it's all excellent information. I remember one video I watched of you that stuck in my mind was a video that you were talking about the weaponry that was used. Was that a Rhodesian war or something that you were showing the weaponry of the whites that you had or something? I thought that was an interesting video.
It must be that you saw part of my presentation at the Fash Bash. And that was out of a lecture that I prepared called 50 Years of Race War in Southern Africa. And in there, I had Rhodesian weaponry, but many people only saw the portion with the South African weaponry, which was very impressive stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good video. Now, is that video up anywhere?
No, I've kind of kept it away. I want to actually turn it into a DVD that I can sell.
Okay.
Because there's a whole ton of work that went into that thing. But in a nutshell, what I basically tried to do there, this was a project that came up towards the end of 2018. A bit of the background about why I did that was I was talking to a young Afrikaans guy, young Boer here in South Africa, and we were talking about history in the past. And he was talking about how young whites are demoralized and they feel bad about themselves and everything. And then I said to him, but you know, what about our history? Have you seen some of the things that we did in the past, even though we're just a small group of whites? And out of that, I did research and I put together this talk called 50 Years of Race War in Southern Africa, because whites from it was basically the Portuguese, the Rhodesians, and the South Africans. Mm-hmm. We fought wars that spanned 40 or 50 years in total.
Yeah. All right. So that maybe we could start off with that. Now, you were living in Rhodesia, you said, in the beginning?
Yes, that's where I was born. Okay. I was born there in the 60s.
Okay. So I'm a little older than you. So if you were born in the 60s, that's when things are really, I guess, really were cranking there, huh?
Yes, the 60s was a wild time. And for us in Rhodesia, things really hotted up into the 70s. And that was when, as a child and a teenager, I started noticing a lot more, because right. that was when we were really getting down to the wire there.
Right. Okay. So, because I remember this in history, but you know, you have to understand, we in the United States, they really don't like to let us know what's going on in South Africa. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've noticed that.
Yeah. So that. We're kind of dumb in regards to, I mean, to be honest with you, you're the only one that I've really learned what's going on in South Africa, because there's no really not many people, you know, that are really letting it be known, you know?
Absolutely. And people in our part of the world have either been silenced or they've been very afraid. There have been a great many people, especially military people and even politicians, who wrote books, but the books were published mostly here in Southern Africa, mostly in South Africa. And these are probably the only true first-person accounts of what happened here. And of course, as you know, the mass media won't be telling you what the whites have written. And so it's only whites studying these books that, or even knowing some of these people who have managed to piece together some of this stuff. Okay. And I want to tell you, there are soldiers and intelligence people and officers who are still alive, and they're too afraid even now to talk about it. Right. And I even know a guy from Rhodesia who was in the special branch. He's currently living in the United States, and years ago already he told me he's living there. He's not going to open his mouth about anything. Wow. They're so afraid.
All right. I'm going to barrage you with a bunch of questions, okay? You know, things that interest me that I want to know about, because I never really studied South Africa. So let's just give everyone a little bit of a background on South Africa, and let's go way back to the beginning, okay? If you can answer these questions, I hope you can. When did South Africa, that's what we're really concerned about. When did the white men get in there and start controlling what was going on there?
Okay, there are two groups of people who came to Africa, to the southern part of Africa first. The first were the Portuguese. The Portuguese were the first ones to explore the coast. And on the west coast of southern Africa, they established a settlement in what is now Angola, which is a black country. That is the oldest white settlement in southern Africa. The Portuguese in total had settlements in that part of Africa for 500 years. They settled there even before whites went to the to North America.
Wow.
Yes. And then the next people who came to Southern Africa was actually as a result of the Royal Navy and ships going to Asia. I think it was the British. They wanted to set up a sort of a post where the ships could stop and get supplies and water, etc. And that's how they came to the Cape. And it was merely to have a sort of a supply place for the ships that they set up a little settlement. And as time went by also, and as European wars took place, the ownership of this little piece of the Cape was actually changed hands. It changed hands from the British to the Dutch to the French back to the British and so on. But little by little, other whites started coming here and for some reason or other started settling around the southern tip of Africa. And then later, as the presence of these whites increased, the British took control of it. And a portion, the southern portion of what is South Africa, the Cape Colony, became a British colony on the southern tip of Africa. And in there came Dutch and Germans, who later became what are known as the Boers.
Okay, now, so South Africa, would it become mainly white down there? Is that what happened?
On the southern tip of South Africa, now you ask a very interesting question, and this is, you know, where do the blacks come from? Where does everybody come from? Well, when the whites got to the southern tip of South Africa, they actually found a people there known as the Khoi. And another term for the Khoi is also the San people. These are non-whites. They are non-whites, but they're not blacks. They are a different kind of human being. They're a smaller kind of people. The blacks that you know, the blacks that you see in Southern Africa, these people, the dark-skinned people, like your dark-skinned Americans, your black Americans, these people are known as Bantu, and they originally come from West Africa, from far in the north where Nigeria and those countries are. They came down through Africa over a period of about 2,000 years. They first came to the center of Africa at the equator, and then from the center of Africa, they started spreading down southwards, directly southwards, but also east and west, and they started settling on the coasts. So those people ran into the Khoi people who lived here before them. Now, the Khoi people did not have large communities. They did not have the population numbers of the blacks. And as these black people moved down through Africa, they actually chased and genocided and killed all the Khoi as they came across them. And these Khoi ended up in the southern tip of Africa and the southwest portion of Southern Africa. The blacks themselves, when they got to South Africa itself, they moved down the east coast of South Africa. And so the first time that the whites and the blacks actually met, the whites were traveling sort of northeastwards out of the Cape, and they met the blacks who were coming southwards down the coast, and they met at the Great Fish River. So the whites were going north and the blacks were going south. So the southernmost territory in South Africa did not have the black people that you associate Africa with. They did not exist at the time the whites came.
All right, let me ask you this. See, my impression, and this is what I thought, okay? Again, being propagandized by people here, that
understood.
The blacks, okay, here's what I was taught. The blacks all lived in South Africa, and then the whites came over, the Dutch or the Portuguese or British or whatever, whatever one you pick here, and they just killed all the blacks and, you know, got the blacks all in submission, and then they took over everything, you know, they, you know, all this country, South country of Africa, and that's how it all started. So apparently that's not the way it happened, huh?
That's not quite the way it happened. And also, on the topic of genocides, later on, when we get a chance, let me tell you about the greatest genocide that actually did take place in South Africa that they never, ever tell you about. And that's a topic for maybe a little bit later in our chat. I can tell you about that.
All right. So, again, you know, we look at Africa as just being, you know, completely black, you know, and then the whites, you know, went into Africa and, you know, colonialism took over and just destroyed the country of blackness. That's what we've been taught, right?
Not quite the truth. And another thing also about the blacks of Africa that they leave out, and I really should find a certain chart for you, is when the whites came to Africa, there weren't large numbers of blacks here. Because these blacks were so backward and they weren't very good at providing for themselves, their populations were very small. And their populations were not that great. The vast majority of black population growth in Africa has taken place in the last 100 years since white colonialism. White people, forget about the few blacks that were killed, white people are directly responsible for the massive population explosion of blacks in Africa. The black population used to be very tiny, and the whites, it's white medicine and white science and whites assisting them, even white doctors, white missionaries going and assisting them. Whites are directly responsible for 90% of the massive population explosion of blacks. Another thing is blacks also used to die from starvation in Africa. From the time of colonialism, the whites saw to it that blacks were always fed. No matter how racist whites ever were, you will not find any time when black people starved to death under white rule. This never, never happened. And if you look even in modern times, even in the last 50, 60 years, every single instance of blacks starving to death is under black rule.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this then, or make a statement. So when whites, let's just get how many were, would you say, total Africa, how many would be white and how many would be black?
Do you know? Are you talking currently?
Go back to when, go back to as far back as you can, when the whites started coming there, you know, and they started developing, okay? It got to the point that there was X amount of whites, X amount of blacks, because then I want to focus into how everything developed with the agriculture and all that. So
okay. I would be guessing, I'd have to go and do some digging after this, but my best guess is that in the whole of Africa, there were probably only a couple of million blacks in all of Africa.
Wow.
Put together at the time that the whites originally came. Okay. It wasn't like there were 200 million blacks here. It was nothing like that. The black population was much, much smaller. Even as far back in South Africa as 1940, the number of blacks in South Africa itself, the number of blacks versus the whites, the blacks only outnumbered the whites by 3-1. And that was as recent as 1940.
Okay, here's a question that just popped up in my mind. All right. Okay, so if that's the case, when they talk about slavery and taking blacks out of Africa, because I've seen figures, and this is kind of strange. They have figures, the slave trade took 100 million blacks out of Africa.
If they took large numbers of blacks out of Africa, the only place that they took them from is West Africa.
Okay.
You're talking, because those countries in West Africa, Nigeria and all those places, in fact, some of those countries, if you look at some of those countries there, you'll see they even have got borders that are straight lines. Do you know that some of those territories, the reason they got those straight lines is because those were places where they came to pick up the slaves, and those countries were created as a direct result of slavery itself. But those slaves were all taken from West Africa. And another thing you need to keep in mind is that slavery itself in the rest of colonial Africa, there was little to no slavery of blacks in southern Africa.
Okay.
But the whites did not enslave the blacks.
Okay. Do you think that figure is high, 100 million or whatever they say? I mean, that seems high to me.
I would have to go back and see what I can find about population statistics. Maybe my population statistics of a few million is too low. Maybe it is higher. But you've got to appreciate that the number of blacks in West Africa, which is where they come from and where they've lived, their population density up there is much greater than if you go south. Because remember, as you're going south, their population density is decreasing. Okay. And by the time that they meet up with the whites, The whites themselves are not large in number, by the way. The number of whites who came to Africa is a tiny portion of what went to North America. And from what I've read, most of the reason why whites went to North America was because Africa was so disease-ridden and dangerous. Whites themselves died in large numbers also in Africa. It was a very diseased continent. We've got some illnesses here that I don't think you'll easily find in other places. And many of these diseases were incurable, and it's only in the time of colonialism that whites began to find cures for these diseases. Even when I was a kid, there were diseases that we had to be careful of. A simple example in Rhodesia was a disease called bilharzia. Bilharzia was a thing that you got in the rivers, and they had a very bad cure for it. And it wasn't, you know, was I as a kid even stayed out of rivers because of that. But there were many diseases that affected the blacks. You've got malaria, tuberculosis, etc. And these things were dangerous, and that's what kept most of the whites away from Africa. But it was white people who solved these problems, and the moment whites found cures, they began to cure the blacks. So that is also where the population explosion comes from. And just a bit of background about black breeding habits, etc. The blacks, as a rule, have large numbers of children. And in their history, prior to the whites coming, large numbers of their children died from natural causes. They didn't even reach the ages of 9 and 10, etc. So these people, for survival purposes, have always had large numbers of children, and it only enabled them to survive with a minor population growth until whites came and fed them and gave them medicines. And then their population just exploded straight through the roof.
Wow.
Okay. I must find some charts. Maybe we can talk about it again and show you some charts.
Yeah. So in reality, it wasn't until the whites came there and, you know, got things going, everything really going good, the blacks probably would have still been living in huts today if it wasn't for whites, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely true. They'd still be living in huts. They'd still be farming and hunting the way they used to. In fact, when I was a child in Rhodesia, there were things called tribal trust lands, and a tribal trust land was basically a native reserve where the blacks can live according to their normal previous methods. They built huts, they went and hunted animals, they grew a few crops for themselves, etc. And they lived like that even in those times. And there are still large numbers of blacks in Africa even now who still live like that. It is the white man who came and changed everything.
All right. Now, one of the things that whites get criticized for is that they went into Africa to steal all their precious metals and valuables and all those type of things. So would you say that that's a true statement?
There is truth to that. Let me explain some of the motivating factors that drove whites when whites came to Africa. There were whites who came here specifically because they heard tales of gold and rich empires. And even the Dutch sent people deep into what is now South Africa, actually hunting for these mythical empires that actually didn't exist. So I think what I need to differentiate here is between the different kinds of whites and what they were doing. On the one hand, you had governments like the British government, which was busy with its trade to Asia, and they needed a place for the ships. But then what you had was you had whites slowly coming in and living around around the harbor and those areas, and starting to grow food and stuff which they were selling to the British and so on. So you had this small influx of whites coming from all over, and as time went by, these whites themselves started growing in number and started wanting to do things. So just to give you some background, one of the motivating factors that drove some of the movements of the whites were private whites who decided they wanted to do something. What happened was in the Cape Colony where the British ruled, the British, as far back as the 1800s, already were dealing with people and treating all people as equals. And you had these people of Dutch, German descent, Dutch, German, French descent, who later became the Boers. They were living there. Many of them, by the way, who came to Africa were themselves Christians who fled from Europe because of persecution of their version of Christianity. So they left Europe to just find a place where they can do their own thing. Like some of your founding fathers were also, let's call it, religious nuts. And so we had these religious nuts who lived here. And some of them grew tired of the way the British treated them. And then some of them decided, because many of them, many of these, let's call it private citizens living in the Cape Colony, they went and explored deep into Africa. They went thousands of miles into Africa. They saw tribes. They went and looked around and so forth. And then there were those who said, well, they said that there are empty spaces in Africa where they could live. And they began to think of private ventures to go into Africa, get away from the British, and set up their own states. And that is where the Boers come from. The Boers engaged in many adventures, which resulted in them fighting the blacks and in them settling places. But they were very much like, you know, let's say a bunch of Americans grab their guns and their trucks and they decide they want to go and live in some other place and set up a thing. It was a similar kind of adventure. It was not driven by the governments. It was not driven by the rich. It was driven by their desire to be away from British rule and to rule themselves. So that is where the Boers come into play. And all the Boers were interested in was finding places where they could live and farm. They farmed, and that was their way of life. And so that is where things like the Battle of Blood River and those things come from, were attempts and ventures to go in different directions to try and establish sort of internal colonies. Let me also add to this the story of the greatest massacre of blacks that happened in Southern Africa that they never tell you about. Yeah. In the 1820s, there was a Zulu chief. The Zulus live on the east coast of South Africa. They live right by the sea. The Zulus came to be ruled by a king called Chaka. And Chaka was a warrior king, and he developed some ideas of conquest. That in itself is a very fascinating story, but I'm not going to go into that here. Chaka decided to set out and conquered all the closely related tribes that later became known as the Zulus. Mm-hmm. And then he took them and he created this military empire. And Chaka had his territory on the east coast. He had his Zulu land on the east coast. And then as he expanded, he began to fight against other black tribes all over the show. There were black tribes further down on the east coast, and there were tribes in the center of South Africa. What resulted were a series of black-on-black wars that were extremely bloody. They took place round about somewhere between 1818 and about 1828. There were these bloody, bloody wars between the blacks. And the Zulus set out to slaughter basically everybody. And what they often did, also like ancient whites did, is sometimes they would kill all the men and then take in the women and children. But anyway, in these wars that took place, they killed at least about 1.4 million blacks. And in the very center of South Africa, where I now live, which is like Johannesburg, Pretoria, the very center of South Africa, they totally exterminated all the blacks who lived here. There was nobody here. And some of these Boers who were traveling deep into South Africa, they came across these places where where the Zulus had killed everybody. Plus, the Zulus themselves also split in two. And there was another tribe of the Zulus run by a guy called Mzilikazi. And Mzilikazi came to occupy the center of South Africa. And when he came to occupy the center, he told his troops to kill absolutely everybody. And so he then occupied the center of South Africa. But he also moved a bit to the north. And so there were big chunks of totally empty space. Some of the white Christians who came into the center of Africa, into the center of South Africa, they not only came across these places where the blacks had been killed, but they even picked up black children and took the black children back to the Cape because their parents had been killed. They took their black children to the Cape and they raised them in the Cape. So from all these white adventurers, they started picking up details of this enormous massacre and slaughter. And then the